The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
Well, good to be back with you again. I'm going to move out here in just a minute. You know, it's been an interesting transition we've been going through here now, almost 6 months. It's kind of amazing it's been going on this long. And you know, one of the things that I've begun to think about and ponder and contemplate is this: how much we take for granted. You ever something about that? How much we as God's people take for granted. Now, when they initially shut us down, we could not meet in church. And that was for, I don't know, what was it, a couple months? We couldn't meet in the building. We weren't meeting outside then, no outdoor church. We were just basically shut out of our church. We were doing live stream. We were doing pre-recorded videos. We were doing Zoom, doing all those things in order to keep God's people together and be able to preach the Word of God and enjoy fellowship. But I don't know about you, but I miss church. And you don't realize how precious the assembly of the saints is until you don't have it. And it really made me think about how blessed we are in America. I mean, I've been in 36 countries in the world in my lifetime. Oh, I guess I need to move back here, huh? I move around a lot now. I'm not going to come down there like I usually do, so don't think I'm going to come down there and spit on you. Amen? But I've been in a lot of countries in my lifetime, and there's no country in the world like this country. And a lot of places in the world today, especially in communist countries, they cannot meet like we're meeting here this morning. Now, we just have a small handful of people here in the auditorium, and of course, we're doing a streaming this morning, live streaming, and that's good. But I've been in a lot of places in the world where churches have to meet underground. So we have liberty and freedom in this country that a lot of places don't have. I'm thinking about Red China. I'm thinking about Vietnam. I'm thinking about Cuba. And even to some degree, there are countries in Eastern Europe and the old Warsaw Pact countries where they're not able to meet as freely as we do. So when churches shut down, I began to realize how precious church really is. And when we don't have something, we realize we've oftentimes taken it for granted. So I don't know about you, but I've been thinking a lot about that lately. So I want to share some thoughts with you this morning from the Word of God. Would you turn in your Bible to Psalm 68? Now, I'm having allergy problems, so you pray for me, because when my allergies are bad, my voice suffers. And right now, we're having a lot of allergy issues here in Southern California. So you pray for me as I preach this morning. As we look into the Word of God. Psalm 68 and verse 19, and when you arrive there, if you can, if you will, please, will you stand with me out of respect and reverence the reading of God's precious Word as we all stand together. Psalm 68, verse 19, I'm going to read one verse, and then we'll pray and get into the message God has for us today. Psalm 68, verse 19. The Bible says this: Blessed be the Lord who, now notice what it says, daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. I'm going to read that again. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. That's a wonderful verse of Scripture. Notice what it says. It says, God loads us daily with benefits. Now, when I was in the Navy, we talked about benefits all the time. We'd call them bennies. But I'll tell you what, boy, it's a blessing to be in the military because we're going to get our bennies. We had all these benefits that came our way because of our service to our country. And so we always appreciated that. But the benefits that we're speaking about here in the Word of God in this particular verse of Scripture is not material things, it's spiritual things. Now, God does bless us materially. We of all people here in America have been blessed wonderfully materially. We still are the wealthiest nation on the face of the earth. Even with our economy in a downturn right now, we're still a wealthy country. The poorest people in our country are wealthy compared to the poor in other countries. I mean, just think about that. So when God talks about loading us daily with benefits, he's talking about spiritual things. Now, I don't know about you, but God has been good to me. Hasn't God been good to you? Amen. Amen. God's been good to me. So he loads us daily with benefits. Now, I got up this morning and I thought, praise the Lord, I'm alive. I put my feet on the floor. I was able to function and motivate. I had my breakfast this morning. Amen. My wife and I had our devotions together this morning, prayed together. I was able to sit in a read just a little bit this morning and just kind of get myself ready for the service. And we had a nice drive up here today, and I was thinking, boy, praise the Lord, I'm still alive and I can still serve God. Isn't that wonderful? I praise God for that. Now listen, I've just gone through my fourth round of cancer. So I'll tell you what, I sure am glad that God's been good to me, let me live another day. Now, we don't know how much longer we're going to live. We don't know how much time God's going to give us. The Bible says, once appointed unto men to die, but after this, the judgment. So we know death is coming. Somebody's going to preach your funeral, and someone's going to preach my funeral. But praise the Lord, while we're here, we ought to rejoice in the goodness of God to us every single day, that He's given us life, He's blessed us with life, and He's blessed us abundantly, and He's blessed us spiritually. Look at this wonderful church you folks have here. I mean, it's a joy to walk into the back doors of the house of God, just be able to come here and just worship God together in song and be able to praise the Lord as we gather together in fellowship one with the other. I'll tell you what a blessing that is. He loadeth us daily with benefits. He loadeth us daily with benefits. Father, we thank you, O God, this morning for thy precious word. We pray that over the next several minutes, as I try to rightly divide the word of truth, that you would please help me. God, I confess unto you this morning, I'm a needy preacher. And I cannot do this except you help me. So, Father, please fill me with thy Holy Spirit, O God. Anoint my lips and help me not to say anything but what it brings praise and honor and glory to your name, for you're worthy of our praise. God, we thank you for your precious word this morning. I pray you'd add your blessing now to the preaching of it. And I pray, God, you just use this time that we have together to speak to each and every one of our hearts. Speak to my heart, O God. I need to hear from heaven this morning. So, Lord, we just consecrate ourselves again unto you, O Lord, and we ask that you would speak to us now in Jesus' precious and holy and wonderful name. And this I do say, amen and amen. Thank you, may be seated. Psalm 105, let's go over to Psalm 105. It's actually a companion to this great Davidic psalm in Psalm 68. The Psalm 105, another Davidic psalm, and Psalm 105 and verses 1 through, I think I'll go down through verse 5. Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1. Now, David is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, writes this. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not, what's to say here, forget not all his benefits. Now, I like verse 3. It says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. That's a good verse of scripture. Amen. Hey, listen, do you see what it says there? It says that if I read my Bible correctly, and I believe I do, it says, he forgiveth all thine iniquities. Hey, listen, friends, when I got saved by the grace of God, he forgave me all of my iniquities, all my sin, washed away in the blood of the Lamb, washed away in the blood of Jesus, and how I thank God for his forgiveness. Aren't you glad for his forgiveness? What a blessing that is, amen? Someone said to me one time, well, you know, you Christians miss all the fun. I said, listen, the only thing I miss is going to hell. Amen. I don't have to go to hell. In fact, I know that I'm not going there. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb that was shed for me on the cross of Calvary. The day I got saved, April the 7th, 1974, at 11 o'clock at night aboard the USS Midway at sea off the coast of South Korea in a typhoon, that night that I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, the thing that was to me the most wonderful thing, the most wonderful and gracious part of my salvation was as all that burden of sin was lifted off of me and I was set free. Amen? That old spiritual that was sung by the dear black folks years ago when they were still in slavery. And, of course, we know Martin Luther King and his speech there on there in Washington, D.C. on the Mall many, many years ago. I remember the words of that song, free at last, free at last. Thank God the Almighty, I'm free at last. And of course, that gives reference to our being saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, forgiven of all of our sins. Amen. And by the way, having our name written in the Lamb's book of life. Listen, friends, I got a home in heaven because of what Jesus did. Well, and indwelled by the Spirit of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Instantly, at the instant of salvation, the Spirit of God moved in and set up housekeeping in my heart. The Paracletos, the Holy Comforter. I thank God for him. I thank God that we have his precious word. Amen. God has given us his precious word. He loadeth us daily with benefits. Isn't the word of God a blessed and precious benefit? Aren't you glad you've got the Bible? I'm glad I have it. Many years ago, I read about a dear lady in a Romanian village when They were still under communism. And in that village, they only had one page of the Bible. That's all they had. And they had to hide it and keep it in secret. And they would pass that one page of the Bible around from family to family to family. And each family would keep that page of the scriptures for 1 week. And I believe it was out of the book of Deuteronomy. And it was so precious to this dear lady that she had one page of the Word of God. She came to America. She immigrated to the United States when she was able to do that. And so one of the things that she told the host family was this. She said, I'd like to have a copy of the Bible. I'd like to have my own Bible. And they took her to a Bible bookstore, and she walked into that Bible bookstore, and she saw shelf after shelf after shelf after shelf of Bibles. And she began to weep. And she said, in my country, she said, all we had was one page of the scriptures, and here I walk into this store in America where you're free, and I see all of these shelves full of Bibles. And she began to weep over this. Well, she got a copy of the Word of God for herself. And let me tell you this, she held that thing to her breast and got on her knees and thanked God that she finally had a copy of the scriptures for herself. See, we take those things for granted. And I thought about this when I preached this message a few weeks ago. I thought, I certainly take my Bible for granted. I probably got 10 or 12 Bibles in my house right now. And I take it for granted that God has been so good to us to allow us to have the Word of God. Some places they have to hide the Bible. In Vietnam, we have some missionaries there, some Filipino missionaries that we support, and they're underground churches. And when they meet on the Lord's Day, they know the secret police, they know they're watching them. And so what the preacher told us, he said, we keep a birthday cake in the house when we have our church services, their house churches. And when the secret police come along, we have to hide our Bibles and all of our Christian materials, all of our learning and our instructional material. We have to hide all of that. But when the secret police come and we have a birthday cake and we bring that out and we tell them we're having a birthday party. He said, now we're not lying because someone during the course of the month is going to surely have a birthday. But they have to hide the Bible. Here we are in church this morning. I've got a copy of the Word of God right here in my hands. And sometimes we take that for granted. We take just being able to come into this building this morning for granted. It's a blessing. It's a joy to come to church. And like I said, when we couldn't come to church for a while, when the doors were closed, well, I'll tell you what, I missed church. I was preaching in Virginia via pre-recorded videos. I was preaching on Zoom in Alaska. I was preaching and my home church via pre-recorded videos, and now we're doing outdoor services, which is a real blessing. We're meeting inside on Thursday night for a prayer meeting. But boy, I'll tell you what, I missed church. I just really missed it. So it's good to be in the house of God. Amen. We ought to rejoice in that. We ought to rejoice in the goodness of God unto us. He loadeth us daily with benefits. Turn with me, please, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'll tell you what, just good to be saved. I just rejoice in the fact that I'm saved. Well, it's good to be saved. I was preaching a revival meeting over in Santa Maria, and there's a rough old motorcycle guy there in that church. He was a Harley Davidson guy, rough guy. He's a chaplain now in the California prison system today, saved by the grace of God. And I'd be preaching in a pretty good-sized church, and I'd be preaching, and all of a sudden he'd be sitting in the back, and he'd just shout out, "It's good to be saved." And I'd stop, I'd say, "Amen, praise the Lord." I'd preach along a little bit further. He said, "It's good to be saved." And I'd preach along a little bit further. He'd say, "It's good to be saved." And I thought, man, now that's kind of unique. Here I am preaching the Word of God, and it's off my message. But he's just shouting because he's just so full of joy that he's saved by the grace of God. And he's not taking his salvation for granted, not one single bit, and just saying, "Good to be saved." It's good to be saved. We ought not ever take our salvation for granted. Deuteronomy chapter 8, this is a wonderful passage of Scripture. I won't spend too awful long here, but I want to go down through it verse by verse. It's only 20 verses. So looking here at Deuteronomy chapter 8, I'm going to go down through this just very quickly. As we look at this chapter, we see this is a new generation born in the wilderness, wandering, standing at the east bank of the Jordan River, ready to cross over into Canaan land. Now, they've been wandering around out there in the desert for 40 years. And God has delivered them from the oppression of Egypt. They've come across the Red Sea. God has piled the waters up both sides, came across dry shod. And of course, we know that the children of Israel murmured, and Partially because of that, God caused them to wander around in the wilderness under Moses' leadership and direction for 40 years. That's a full generation. Now, most of the people that went into Canaan land, all of them, in fact, except for a couple that went into Canaan land, they've been born during the wilderness experience. And so when you look at this, you begin to realize they're standing over on the bank of the Jordan River, the east bank of the Jordan River, getting ready to cross over into Canaan. And so this is the picture that we see here beginning in chapter 8. And here, by the way, there's a restating here of the commandments of God as we begin this, before they make their sojourn into the land that God has promised unto them. So in verse 1 I read this: "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do." Now, let me say this. I don't know whether you realize this or not, but God gave the children of Israel 613 commandments, or 613 laws. Now, of course, we know they're not in effect today. The majority of them aren't in effect. We're talking about the ceremonial law, the dietary laws, and, of course, we have the moral law, and it's encompassed in Exodus chapter 20 and the Ten Commandments. Not the Ten Suggestions or the Ten Opinions, the Ten Commandments. Now, someone said to me one time, "Well, listen, I'm a New Testament Christian. I don't have to obey the Ten Commandments." I said, "I don't know where you'll find that in the Word of God. I can't find it anywhere." Amen? I said, "Where does it say in the Bible that you and I can disobey the Ten Commandments?" "I can't find that anywhere in my Bible." Amen. That's the moral law. And so we're required of God to uphold the moral law. Don't you think that's true? I think so. So here we see he's restating the law, restating the commandments, and of course it encompassed the moral law, ceremonial law, and the dietary laws. Ceremonial law and dietary laws no longer apply to us today. So he says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do." Now, beloved, listen, God has given us things to do. And one of the things he's given us to do is to obey his word. Let me tell you what, nothing honors God, nothing glorifies God much more, as far as I'm concerned, than obedience to the Word of God. God wants us to obey His Word. And it honors and glorifies Him. And by the way, it's what's best for us. God knows what's best for us, and disobedience is certainly not best for us. "So all the commandments which I command you this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers." Verse 2 says this. Now, I want you to see this, and if you're marking your Bible this morning, might want to mark this little phrase: "And thou shalt remember." Thou shalt remember. You know what I found out, beloved? I found out this. We sometimes have a tendency to have short memories. We do. In fact, I tell you this. One time I took a course. When I was in the military, I took a course. It was the Advanced Instructors course, and one of the things that they taught us was this: it takes 17 repetitions of any one thing, 17 repetitions of any one thought, 17 repetitions of any one idea. It takes 17 repetitions of that in order for people to get it. Otherwise, they're going to forget it. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. They say we only retain 10% of what we hear. I don't believe that. I believe the human brain has been designed by Almighty God, created by Almighty God, to absorb a whole lot more information than that. I think we're pretty choosy as to what we want to remember and what we don't want to remember. Sometimes I think we're forgetful hearers too. But he said, listen, he said, "I want you to remember. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee." And that's why he did it. He said, listen, you guys just needed to have a good old-fashioned dose of humility. And the way to teach you to be humble was to let you wander around out here in the wilderness for 40 years with no certain dwelling place. And he withheld from an entire generation the promise of Canaan land. And they wandered around out there, and God said the reason for that was to humble thee, and also to prove thee, to try thee, to test thee, to know what was in thine heart. See, many times God will test us, and he'll bring different things to come into our lives to prove us, to see what's really in our hearts. Now, hey, listen, friends, let me tell you this. Nothing will reveal what's in the hearts of mankind probably better than being put into a position where God, number one, humbles us, and number two, puts us in a position where we have to think about the way we're living in this wicked world. It gives some thought and consideration to where we are in a relationship with God. To make us realize when he sometimes puts us off into these wilderness experiences, and sometimes through the process of chastisement. For who the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Who the Lord loveth, he correcteth. So sometimes God will put us in that position, or he'll put us in a tougher, or rougher, hard spot to find out, to determine what's in the hearts of each one of us. I've been through that. Some of you have been through the crucible, suffering and pain. God sometimes just wants us to examine our own hearts and find out what's there, to prove, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what is in thine heart. Well, watch this. Whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. So God wants to know where we are in our walk with him. And basically what he's saying here is this. He said, listen, 40 years it took me, 40 years it took you to determine, to find out, to realize that one of the things God wants you to do is to walk before him in humility. God wants us to walk before him in humility. Amen? Verse 3. Now notice it says, and he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger. Look at this. It's God so merciful and gracious. Look. And he suffered thee to hunger, and he fed thee with manna which thou knewest not. In other words, they're out here in the wilderness. You can't grow anything in the desert. Everything is at a premium there. There's no water there. There's no way to grow corn, no way to grow beans, no way to grow watermelon, no way to grow anything else. There's no way that you can grow anything there. There's no grocery stores there, no supermarkets there, no Costco there. I mean, there's no way for them to function and to live out there in the desert. And basically, if they'd have just wandered around out there without any food or without any water, they would inevitably all perished. But you know what God in his grace did? He fed him with manna from heaven. Now, you know this manna is a perfect food. And he did, that's God's grace, amen? He did that for 40 years. He said, listen, now I want you to read this again. This is interesting. He said, and he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knowest not. In other words, it's food. It's heavenly food. It's food that's been prepared by God and sent by God to you to sustain you. And on the human level, you don't even know anything about this kind of food. It had all the nutrients, all the vitamins, everything necessary, all the proteins, everything necessary to sustain them. But at one point, they begin to complain about it. Can you imagine that? God's feeding you manna from heaven, a perfect food, and people are complaining about it. You know, what a bunch of ingrates. Oh, come on now, take your halo down. You know, sometimes we're that way too. God takes care of us and he provides for us, and yet we have a tendency sometimes to complain, just like it's never enough. So he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and he fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only. Of course, we know Jesus quoted that in Matthew 4:4 when he was tempted of the devil in the wilderness. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So what's more important is not just our physical food, but spiritual food, the word of God. Verse 4, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Isn't that interesting that they went through that 40 years in that desert experience, and it says that their raiment waxed not old upon them. Didn't rot, didn't dry rot, didn't fall apart, didn't fall off of them. They wore that clothing for 40 years, and neither did thy foot swell these 40 years either. And I thought that was interesting. Their foot didn't swell. Well, you know, they tell us that beriberi is due to a poor diet, and it causes your feet to swell. Well, that's a big problem in Africa and the sub-Saharan desert. Their feet swell because they contract beriberi. But this manna was such a perfect food that it protected them from having any kind of a disease that would cause their feet to swell. And when you're a people of about 3.5 million that are on the march all the time, moving all the time, going from one place to another all the time, you're living the nomad lifestyle, you're nomadic people, when you're moving around all the time, the last thing you need to have is foot problems. When I was in the Navy, I was training recruits, and one of the things that we were very concerned about was our recruits take care of their feet. You know, if a military man doesn't have healthy feet, he's got a problem, especially if he's infantry. So we made sure the recruits always took care of their feet so they didn't get different kinds of diseases of the feet. And certainly it's an important thing when you're a nomadic people on the march. And so he said, these 40 years, he said, your clothing didn't wax old and your feet did not swell throughout this whole experience. Verse 5, thou shalt consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, and of depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. Amen. a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and are full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Verse 11. Now watch this. Now see this. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Now over in verse 2 we read this. Thou shalt remember. Here in verse 11 we see him say this. God says this. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. He loadeth you daily with benefits. Don't take for granted these things that I'm about to give you. By the way, I'm going to take all these things from your enemy, from the heathen, from the pantheist, and I'm going to give it to you. This land that you're going into is a wonderful and a beautiful land, and you're going to prosper there. And so he said, I don't want you to forget where this comes from. And sometimes, let me go back to what I said in the beginning, sometimes we take these benefits that God loads us with daily, whether they be spiritual or material, and we forget the hand of God in all of his provision. Take it for granted. Think about how much stuff you take for granted. I mean, hey, listen, friends, I've got a place to live. I have a roof over my head. I've got clothes on my back. I'm eating pretty good. Amen, aren't you? I'm eating well. I'm living in a nice area of San Diego County, up in the foothills in North County, where it's not noisy there, and the air is pretty clean, and the only thing we got to deal with is rattlesnakes and coyotes. I mean, other than that, it's a blessing. Amen. I mean, just think about that. Think about how good God is to us. And we sometimes have a tendency to take that for granted. We take it for granted. Verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, at not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Verse 12, lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Verse 14, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. Forget where it came from. Forget who gave it to you. Forget who it was that prospered you. Forget who it is that blessed you. And it's important for us to remember these things that God taught the children of Israel here in Deuteronomy 8. So he says in verse 12, lest thou hast eaten or full, and hast built goodly houses, dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. Imagine that. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at the latter end. There's a lot of theology here that we could discuss in some of these statements made in these various verses we read today, but a practical application is what is most important this morning. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten this wealth. Sometimes I think people get to the point where they think they're self-made man. Everything they have, they earned themselves, and God didn't provide. Verse 18, watch it now. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, and he that established his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. So even our jobs, God provides those, so that we're able to make a living, and all the wealth that we have, no matter how much it is, no matter what the amount of it is, it all comes at the hand of God. Verse 19, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. So, as we look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, I think the theme of this is, don't forget. Remember where it all came from. Don't take it for granted. Remember what I provided you in the wilderness, manna. Water out of a rock, amen. Also two quails at one point. So, I mean, think about this, how God took care of them. Their clothing didn't rot off their bodies. Their feet didn't swell. And he protected them all the way through that experience. And by the way, they didn't deserve that. He didn't deserve it. But they honored the Abrahamic covenant. which he made with him. And so these were his chosen people, the apple of his eye. So God's good for his word, and he took care of his people in spite of themselves. So I looked at all this and I thought about it, and I wrote some things down just to, you know, kind of sum my thoughts up. I wrote this: we don't always appreciate what God has provided to us, what's been given to us at his hand, until it's gone and we no longer have it. We're in danger of getting accustomed to his blessing and taking those blessings for granted. We often do not realize how very precious these blessings of God are until they're gone, taken away, or lost. Sadly, many times we tend to realize the value of God's provision of all that we enjoy when they're gone. And so I made a list of things we sometimes take for granted. So let me read this very quickly. These are things that that came to mind as I was reading my Bible one day, particularly Deuteronomy 8. And these are some of the things that we take for granted. How about our salvation? Do we lose the wonder of it all? I mean, sometimes I think that people just, they kind of settle into their Christian experience and they just kind of lose the wonder of it all. We ought not ever lose the wonder of it all. We ought not ever lose the wonder of being saved. We should never take our salvation for granted, because the price that was paid for your salvation and mine was too steep, too high a price. We should never take our salvation for granted, but sometimes we do. How about our Bible, the provision of God's Word preserved for us in the English language? We sometimes take our Bible for granted. I thank God for His Word. I thank God that I have a copy of the Bible in front of me this morning. I thank God for the privilege of preaching the Word of God. I've been preaching now for 46 years. I thank God for that privilege. Our church home and our church family, sometimes we take them for granted. In those months that we weren't in church and that we were having to do everything like we're doing this morning, some of it's either live stream or some other way, it's online, and we weren't together as God's people, boy, that was a tough time for me personally. And here I had to cancel all my spring meetings, and so my revival meetings weren't happening, and so I wasn't in the house of God. And then when they did open back up again, I did 2 revival meetings, and then they closed us down again. So our church home and our church family. How about the roof over our head, certain dwelling place? Mentioned that earlier. Food and raiment, our daily bread. Sometimes take that for granted. The brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ, the fellowship of the saints, sometimes take that for granted. Our parents, grandparents, siblings, and other beloved family members, we sometimes take them for granted. Our precious spouse, that life's partner to walk through life with. Thank God for my wife. We've been married now 55 years, and I praise the Lord for her. She's my partner in life, my partner in ministry, and I thank God that she is my companion in life. Amen. The hard-won freedoms and liberty we enjoy in America. The gift of life that we can get up every morning and serve the Master. Our jobs are, here's another one, clean water and electricity. We sometimes take that for granted. I've been in countries where they have no electricity, where they have no clean water. I mean, it's an amazing thing. Get up and you can just go into the bathroom or your kitchen and turn a tap on, there's water. Clean water. Now, if you live in San Diego, you could probably set the water on fire. There's so much junk in it because it's just full of chemicals and all kinds of materials. But nonetheless, it's still clean water. And we sometimes take that for granted. Clean water, electricity. Man, what a wonderful thing to go over and throw flip a switch on the wall and the lights come on. We were down on the Honduras border in the rainforest in a Maya Indian village preaching down there several years back. And the pastor had 10 children, and I think he had number 11 on the way. And they were living in a what I call mud hut. It was just basically a hobble shack, and it had visqueen roof over top of it. They slept in hammocks, dirt floors, no furniture. And the pastor's wife was cooking on an open wood fire, a piece of boilerplate on some masonry blocks. And their average income per year was about $275 to $300. No lights. A bunch of people from Missouri came down and built a steel building for them for church building, and brought a Honda generator down there to light up some fluorescent lights when they had church services. No lights, no electricity, no running water. None of the conveniences that you and I enjoy. But you know what? They were happy. They were happy in Jesus. I tell you, every blessing that came their way, they just rejoiced over it. They just thanked God for it. And the pastor's wife, she wanted to cook us tamales, and I love tamales, and so she made tamales, and one of the missionaries said, "Preacher, you don't want to eat them." And I said, "Well, listen, if she's going to prepare them, we're going to eat them." So I ate them, and a national pastor from Belize, he ate them, or she ate them, and I ate them, and both of us got sicker than dogs. But I tell you what, she was so happy she could prepare those tamales for us, and we did not want to tell her that we would not eat them. And I mean, they just rejoice in the things of God, and they have absolutely nothing. And what little they do have, they praise the Lord for it. You know, he's driving an old truck, and that's always God, and it's diesel, and it's hard to find fuel down there, and they got to go over to Honduras to get it. I mean, it's just unbelievable the way they live their lives, and we think that they're deprived, and they think that they're blessed. So they don't complain because they're thankful for what they have. And here we in America, we've got all of these things that have been provided to us, and we oftentimes take them for granted. Fresh water, running water, electricity, our health and good health care we have in America. I don't care what anybody says, we've got the best health care standard in the world. God's creation and the beauty that surrounds us every day. What a blessing. God's protective hand. I thank God for the things that don't happen. But we drove up here this morning on I-15 and across 91. You take your life in your hands sometimes on 91. And we got here safely. Praise the Lord. So I thank God for the things that don't happen. God's protective hand. For things that happen and don't happen. For dear friends with which we share the burdens of life. Spiritual gifts. Our children, grandchildren, in my case, great-grandchildren. The wonderful conveniences that we enjoy. Refrigeration, washing machines, dryers, computers, automobiles, and so much more. The trials in life, adversity and suffering designed to strengthen us. Paul's appreciation for the thorn in the flesh is one good example. He thanked God for that. Our pastor and others who faithfully preach the whole counsel of God. God's mercy and grace, amen. The privilege of prayer, our great Baptist heritage, all these things, how wonderful they truly are. And sometimes we just take them for granted. So, rewinding a little bit, when I go all the way back to when this whole pandemic started, I think we got shut down on the 19th of March. We were out of church that couple, 3 months, but however long it was. Well, I'll tell you what, I sure did miss church, and I realized sometimes even me, both as a pastor for many years and as an evangelist 27 years, I just sometimes take it for granted. I just expect it always to be there. Until it wasn't. Praise God we can do what we're doing this morning, and we'll be able to go out tonight and preach outside tonight. Amen. Now, I'm going to close with this. Warren Wiersbe wrote this, and I thought this was good. He said, I felt for a long time that one of the particular temptations of the maturing Christian is the danger of getting accustomed to his blessings. Like the world traveler who has been everywhere and seen everything, the maturing Christian is in danger of taking his blessings for granted and getting so accustomed to them that they fail to excite him as they once did. Emerson said that if the stars came out only once a year, everybody would stay up all night to behold them. We've seen the stars so often that we don't bother to look at them anymore. But we've grown accustomed to our blessings. The Israelites in the wilderness got accustomed to their blessings. And God had to chasten his people. God had fed the nation with heavenly manna each morning, and yet the people were getting tired of it. But now our soul is dried away, they said. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Nothing but manna. They were experiencing a miracle of God's provision every morning, yet they were no longer excited about it. Nothing but manna, they said. Nothing but manna. One of the evidences that we've grown accustomed to our blessings is this spirit of criticism and complaining. Instead of thanking God for what we have, we complain about it and tell him we wish we had something else. You can be sure that if God did give us what we asked for, we would eventually complain about that. The person who has gotten accustomed to his blessing can never be satisfied. Another evidence of this malady is the idea that others have a better situation than we do. The Israelites remembered their diet in Egypt and longed to return to the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. They were saying, the people in Egypt are so much better off than we are. Were they really? Obviously, they had forgotten the slavery they had endured in Egypt and the terrible bondage from which God had delivered them. Slavery is a high price to pay for a change in diet. I thought that was very good. I think that Dr. Wiersbe, who recently went home to be with the Lord, by the way, I think that Dr. Wiersbe made a very good point in what he says here. So we just take things for granted sometimes, you know, because we get used to it. We've always had it, or it's always been around, or we've never done without, and we've never had to go any period of time without specific things. and we take it for granted. But we need to remember the fact that God loadeth us daily with benefits, and the benefits that he loads us with are spiritual benefits for which we ought to build our lives, and that's the most important benefit we have. That time of prayer, that time in the Word of God, that time in the house of God, that time with God's people, that time in fellowship, the prayer meetings and the preaching services and the song services and all the things that we have, when they're gone and we don't have them anymore, I'll tell you what, we're going to learn how to miss them. And then we realize we've taken these things for granted. I can remember being on deployment. Longest deployment I made was the last combat deployment to Vietnam. It was 1 year. Well, I'll tell you what, I realized after a year how much I took for granted and how much I'd missed by being on that combat deployment for that whole period. 1 year, that's a long time to be away from your family. You know? And you realize I've taken some things for granted here. And then when I got home, I was so glad to be home, man. I'll tell you what, I was one happy camper. And then you turn around and go back out and do it right again. But there are things we take for granted. And we ought not so, brethren, this shouldn't be the case in a Christian's life. We should rejoice in everything we have. We should. I've got a friend of mine that's a Navajo Indian, 100% pure-blooded Navajo. He's a missionary to his own people in the Navajo Nation. That dear brother, I'm going to tell you what, he came out of abject poverty. And he and I talked about it. I preached in a missions conference up in Oregon, and he and I talked about that. And I love this dear brother, and he and I were discussing this, and he said, you know what, Brother Mershon? He said, we just grew up in total poverty. We didn't know what it was. We many times went without a meal. We just didn't always have food. We didn't have everything we needed. And he said, but you know what? God was good to us in spite of all that. He said, we just rejoiced in the Lord because God was good and always provided in some way, shape, or form. And he said, you just don't realize how much God has blessed you, even with the little things in life that you don't have them anymore. He said, so now, he said, everything that God's hand has provided, I just rejoice in it. I just rejoice in it. And he's ministering to a people in a very poor area, the reservation there. In fact, they just got hit really hard with COVID-19, and a lot of their people died. Mostly elderly people with underlying health conditions. But the thing is that he just rejoices in God's goodness. He's a happy Christian. Happy Christian. I mean, and that's what we ought to be. I tell you what, let's not take things for granted. You don't realize how precious they are till they're gone. Life's a precious thing. We ought not waste it. We ought to be found redeeming the time, for the days are evil. I tell you what, I don't want to waste my life. Hey, listen, friends, I'm 74 years old. I mean, how much longer do I have in this world? I don't know. God may let me live to 100, although I'm not really sure I want to live to 100. But I mean, I could live to 100. I've asked God to let me stay out in the ministry until I'm at least 80. But I've known men in evangelism stayed out into their 90s and were still viable. You know, they say, well, you know, Brother Mershon, at your age, you're not relevant. You know, you don't identify with the younger generation. Listen, the Word of God is still relevant to every generation. And you're never too old to preach the Word of God. Amen? And you're never too young. And hey, listen, friends, young people too. I thank God for these good young preachers coming along today. Amen? But the Word of God is still relevant to every generation. The generation gap is a made-up thing. It's not the Word of God anywhere. They say, well, there's a generation gap. Not the Word of God anywhere. It was designed by psychologists, thought up by psychologists back in the 60s. No, there's no such thing as a generation gap. Amen? The Word of God's relevant to every generation. So as long as I can do it, I'm going to do it. So every day I get up and God allows me to preach like I'm doing right now, I don't want to take that for granted. I just want to praise the Lord I can still do it. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad every day? Just think about that, how good God has been to us. In my home church, I will say, and I'll say it, Pastor will say it, God is good, and all the people say all the time. And then I say all the time, and all the people say, God is good. Amen. And God has been good to me. Let us not take the goodness of God for granted. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for that precious word. We pray, Father, now as we close the service, that, Lord, those that are here in the auditorium, and also to those that are joining us this morning by way of live stream, I trust the message has been an encouragement today, to them today. I pray, oh God, that you would speak to all of our hearts about this. Help us, Lord, to never take your goodness for granted. And, oh God, I pray for that one, perhaps it's not saved this morning, that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If they don't have a time and their place marked by a distinct change that they can look back to, where they can say, yes, there was a time in my life when I turned from my sins and I turned to the Lord Jesus. I realized that I'd offended a holy and righteous God and broken His law, and I knew I was lost. I knew I was a hell-bound sinner. But there was a day in my life when I turned from my sins and I turned to the Lord Jesus. And I put my full faith and trust in the finished work of Calvary, believing the gospel in my heart that Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again bodily from the dead according to the Scriptures on the third day. Preacher, there was a time in my life when I did that, and I know that I'm saved. If you don't have that time in your life, I trust this morning that you would turn from your sins and turn to Jesus and put your trust in Him, and that you'd be saved this morning and washed in the blood of the Lamb, and have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and have the assurance one day that you'll stand before the Master in glory because of what He's done for you on the cross. So God, we thank you for this time this morning and your precious word. We pray that as we go through the rest of the day, we would be eternity-minded people and have the upper look of expectation, and bring us back again tonight rejoicing to be in the house of God. And we'll thank you now for it. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen.